CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi everyone, welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi everyone.
Well, Mara, we are at the end of the year, which means our best and worst issue is on sale. Now, I have been through 29 years of doing these, and the process has certainly evolved with only having four shows to choose from now. I mean, there used to be arguments and like very passionate defensive of choices and rounds of the list being whittled down. But, you know, now I feel we're in a groove in that, like, throughout the course of the year, we try to remember the high points and the low points so that the process is somewhat easier. Now, this was certainly a big year for B&B with the Beth Phoebe story playing out for, like, the first 8 months of the year. So we not only named that story Best Story, but B&B Best Show overall. I mean, B&B really embodies the more traditional soap storytelling, like focusing on love stories and family drama. And, you know, it definitely works for them.
I also think that B&B is super consistent. You know, it's kind of remarkable when you look back at 12 full months, hundreds of episodes of storytelling on a show, how some shows feel like they were completely different in focus and tone in January than they are in December.
Absolutely.
So I don't think we see that as much with B&B. Now, I have to admit that I always hold my breath a little bit when the list comes out, because obviously we are hoping to capture the general fan sentiment about the year that was, and it would be impossible for fans to agree unanimously with our choices. Our choices are not even necessarily unanimous in-house. Mm-hmm. But I always hope that people will, like, read the section and read our analyses and have an open mind about the case that we make for why we gave certain honors to certain stories before judging us too harshly. Mm-hmm. I know that the Cola fans are none too pleased that we named them Most Boring Couple. But honestly, like, we're not saying that we don't like Kyle and Lola. We're saying that we want YNR to craft more compelling conflicts for them. And I stand by that.
Oh, me too. I mean, let me be clear. I like both Kyle and Lola, as does everyone on our staff. I just don't think the buildup to their wedding was what we've come to expect from, like, next generation super couples, if you will. I mean, the fight over the purse probably was hard to come back from for me. It was so dopey. She knew he was rich. Why was it insulting that he got her an expensive purse? But I quibble. But, you know, when you read our reasoning for naming them Most Boring, I feel it totally makes sense. You know, where we did give credit to YNR was for bringing back so many fan favorites like Doug Davison's Paul, Michelle Stafford's Phyllis, Melissa Claire Egan's Chelsea, Greg Rickard's Kevin, and Elizabeth Hendrickson's Chloe, which I feel is going to be hard to argue with.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we had to give a really big shout out to how beautifully the show paid tribute to Christoph St. John, mm-hmm. Both with Neil's death in the fictional world of Genoa City and with the fourth wall breaking memorial episode to the actor. Mm-hmm. And on the GH front, we picked Obrecht as the year's most entertaining character and Ava as the most rejuvenated character, but we were less enamored with the flash drive storyline, which, on a side note, will be reaching a very important climax next week that should be a big tune-in for GH fans.
Well, sounds juicy. So over at Days, we named that show Most Entertaining and certainly had to applaud them for taking the risk of the time jump. We also named Ben and Sierra Best Couple, a potentially controversial move for some of the audience, I imagine. Although, remember when we had them on the podcast early on in that romance? Wow, did we get some very unfavorable comments on social media because we dared to question the love story based on the fact that he, like, you know, killed three people. And here we are naming them Best Couple. See how things change?
Something that did happen in the time jump is Adrian's death. And our guest today is Wally Kurth, who not only plays Justin on Days and is mourning her loss, but also airing as GH's Ned. You know, I love seeing him on both shows. I know we've talked about it before, but I think it is so cool of both GH and Days to be so open with the back and forth. And I don't think it confuses the audience or takes anything away from either performance.
No, I think not only because he's defined each character so well and they have totally different sets of relationships, but because he's a veteran on both shows. I mean, he made such an impact in the 4 years he spent on Days during his first Salem run back from 1987 to 91. And when he landed on GH 2 years later, I think he very quickly made Ned, who was a recast, his own. Mm-hmm. And now on both shows, audiences are drawing from like decades of affection for him and for his work and the stories he's been a part of. I also really think it's fun, like the co-star overlap that he's had on the shows.
It's really crazy.
So we like at Days, you know, back in the day, Justin had an affair with Angelica, who was played by Jane Elliott. And at GH, she played his mom and soon will again, as Tracy is going to hit Port Charles later this month. And then there's Mary Beth Evans on Days. She was his sister-in-law, Kayla. Then when she came to GH as Catherine Bell, they were married. And I did find think that was like jarring to me because I remembered them so well as Justin and Kayla.
Mm-hmm.
But now here we are all these decades later. And in the wake of the time jump, that's exactly what's happening. Justin and Kayla are together. But he's got such big things brewing on both shows. So it's like, what a great time to be a Wally Kurth fan.
Oh, indeed. Well, let's get him on the phone to talk about his very big year and his airing on both shows. Hi, Wally.
Hello.
Thanks.
Stephanie.
Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, we are so happy to be talking to you now. You are airing currently on both Days of Our Lives and General Hospital, which is very exciting.
Amazing. It's kind of, yeah, it's crazy. And I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, we
lucky me.
We love it too, must say.
But we're actually going to start. We're going to go back a little to the beginning of your daytime career. So let's start with your entrance onto soaps, or maybe what could have been, I should say, because before you joined Days, you actually auditioned for a few New York soaps, including the role of Tad Martin, which went to your now GH co-star, Michael Knight, who plays Martin Gray. But tell us what you remember about that experience.
Yeah, that was, every time I see Michael, I remind him. And he did confess that he remembered me. And I'm still not convinced it's true, but he said he remembered me. I definitely remembered him. I had just finished doing the Broadway show, Pirates of Penzance, and I was playing the Pirate King, and I was just like beside myself, thrilled that I had played this, you know, lead role on Broadway already, and I was just 23 years old, and I felt very confident and very like, wow, this was a little easier than I thought. So when I went up for Tad, and I remember the casting director told me that they're looking, that Tad to them was like a grown-up Artful Dodger. I said, oh, well, I played the Artful Dodger when I was 10 years old. That's what the Pirate King is, kind of an Artful Dodger. So I thought, okay, this is a role that's right for me. And I didn't go in thinking, oh, I've got this. But I did go in thinking, you know, this is a role I could do. And I felt like I was not that nervous. I felt like, you know, I felt like I did okay. But I did remember Michael and I thought, oh, he's got a good look. And I remember thinking, he's got that. I've been watching the show and he just looked like, you know, one of those actors who play on soap operas. And even though I did become one of those actors 4 years later, you know, my agent did tell me, because I think I tested for, I don't know if it was that one or another role that I tested 6 months later on One Life to Live. He did say, Wally, you need to lose a little weight. So I guess maybe I was a little chubby. I don't know. Maybe I didn't have that chiseled look that, you know, these daytime actors have. And I don't know. But I did get that note that and also, you know, honestly, when I auditioned for Days of Our Lives, I think I've sort of told this story too, that NBC, they weren't sure about me. And they wanted me to come back and test. And Shelley Curtis, who was the producer, said, Wally, I want you to lose 5 pounds. So over the weekend, I jogged every day and ate nothing but fruit. And I'm not sure if I lost 5 pounds. But I think I – but – and she said, I'm going to get you a haircut. you're going to come to my salon, and I've got someone, you're going to get your hair. And when you come back in, we're going to dress you. You're not going to wear the whatever that ragtag suit you wore. So I think maybe I didn't really have the look, I guess. I guess it wasn't that polished of that look that I needed when I first started on soaps. But here I am, 33 years later.
See, Wally, I'm thinking about your early headshots, and I feel like the haircut alone would have taken care of the 5 pounds.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I was buying my clothes at secondhand stores still, and I probably was carrying some, you know, some weight. You know, I wasn't, you know, I tell you, nowadays, these kids on the show, you know, they go to the gym every day and they're just like amazing bodies. And I don't know. Maybe there was a few actors back in that day, in the day that were doing that, but I wasn't. I wasn't even a member. I didn't even have a gym membership. I jogged. I was a jogger, but I don't remember ever like lifting weights or thinking that that was necessary. But no, this generation of actors, it's definitely important, the physical. And for me, the physical was like the last thing I think I added. You know, I always felt like I was more into getting the spiritual and the emotional and all that other stuff that you have to work on as an artist. And
it's hard to even imagine anyone today being told, like, you have to lose weight. Right, like, right. That would be, like, an
HR,
like,
issue.
HR, hashtag fat shaming. Yeah.
Thank you. Is it too late to file a suit?
Might have been 30 years. Might have been the statute of limitations. You might have just missed it.
The statute of limitations might have run out. Exactly. Yeah, what? No, it was my agent. I guess your agent can say it, but the brass can't say it. Anyway. So that was one of my experiences. But I remember Michael, and I remember watching him and thinking, okay, he's good too. And he's like, but, and I, at the time, I remember thinking, okay, when I went back to LA, so I left New York and went back to LA, and I really didn't think that I thought the soaps were over. I thought, okay, I'm just going to go. And I did. I didn't really audition for any other soap until Days of Our Lives 4 years later.
Well, you came on to Days and made such a huge splash right away. When you think back about that first chunk of time that you spent in Salem and the kickoff to the Justin and Adrienne love story, what are your standout memories of like that Wally Kurth era?
Oh, it was amazing. It was definitely like shot out of a cannon. And yeah, I think it was one of those magical stories. I mean, Adrienne was a real wounded bird. And I played this incredibly heroic and sensitive young guy who had been sleeping around, you know, Port Salem, and hadn't really, you know, he definitely came across as very carefree and kind of selfish and self-absorbed. And we played against that, obviously. We turned that on its head when he first meets her and she's crying and he, you know, takes out a handkerchief and gives it to her. And you see for the first time that he has a sensitive side, you know, a vulnerable side. And that was sort of this journey of him, you know, seeing him sort of, you know, falling in love with this woman and changing in a way, honestly, or at least revealing more of who he was and is. And then it just snowballed with all, and I became so, the character was so romantic and became, you know, singing songs and just all this demonstrative, romantic, you know, declarations of love and commitment. It was just like, I know I pissed off a lot of my friends because they would meet me, like they'd see me like at Christmas and they'd say, Wally, you're killing me. Like my wife, my girlfriend, they think I need to be acting like you. We watch you on the show and you're like, I mean, like, come on. You know, what are you doing? I can't possibly be this romantic. I mean, you're like fireworks shows. And you're singing beautiful, taking poems that she wrote and putting it to music. And I said, yeah, sorry, man. I don't write it. I just have to deliver it.
Well, I mean, so this was your first soap and your first experience. And then you wind up in this like incredible pairing. I mean, going to Greece and just doing all these like
so many candles
and just incredible, you know, front burner soap opera digest covers all over the place. Like, what was that like for you?
It was otherworldly, I have to say. And all the personal appearances and, you know, going into these malls and people going crazy. And I mean, I'm just an actor. I just go to acting school, and I never thought that there was a whole genre. I mean, there's a whole part of being an actor on a soap opera that did have all of like a very loyal fan base. And you're just, you know, you're in the studio and you're just doing your work. And I totally just looked at it as another acting. I never had a TV job. So that was also kind of odd too. I'd never really been on television. So it was my first TV job. And so then for it to just like, you know, the amount of material, I mean, I would go after we would do like, you know, I'd be working maybe 4 or 5 days a week and we only did one episode a day, but it was a lot. I remember after the day was over, I would go and I remember like I'd meditate and then I'd start looking at the next day and I'd just looking at the side, looking at the material for the next day. And I just remember it was a full-time job. I mean, it was a 12-hour a day, 14-hour a day job. And we had 6 a.m. calls. And so I was not going out at night. And I was, you know, the weekends, if I was going on a personal appearance, I would do that, you know, limousines to the airport, first class airfare. And it was just like, what has happened? I'm like, it was great, but it was, I was loving it, but I was completely, just kind of, I always use the description of shot out of a cannon. I just didn't prepare. I was just like, boom. And I was just holding on. And hopefully when I landed, I was going to be, you know, in one piece. And that whole year, you're absolutely right. I mean, we went to Greece. I mean, what? I didn't know that soap operas even went to Greece. And it was just incredible. And then the big wedding at St. Sophia Church downtown. And there was like hundreds and hundreds of extras. And I had this, you know, huge 2-page monologue declaring my love to Adrian and getting all emotional. And it was just like, wow. I when I think back, it really was. I'm kind of glad I survived in a way. It was a lot. And I honestly, I have to contribute a little bit of that to my meditation, that I kept my wits about me. I would take that 20 minutes and close my eyes and just, you know, and find that, you know, just some quiet time. Because there was a lot, just remembering all the lines and trying to be really good and trying to deliver every single day as well as I could. And it was a lot, but it was incredibly rewarding. And of course, the fan reaction was amazing and still is.
I mean, it was a really special time on Days also. I mean, you had so many super couples who were just all so popular. You feel the sense at the set that you had like really keyed into something special or something that really wasn't happening on every other show?
Well, you know, we had those Soap Opera Digest Awards and we had, you know, we had the super couple category, but Justin and Adrian, we never won the super couple category. I think we might've been nominated once. Well, that's okay. So I knew that we weren't like, you know, Bo and Hope, we were Patch and Kayla. I think Patch and Kayla was like the couple. And I remember thinking, I guess a little professional jealousy, like, well, what about us? You know, but I also just felt like for me, it was just all about the work. And it did seem like we were sort of in competition, but we weren't, but it was a show that I knew always won best show on the Soap Opera Digest Awards, even though we weren't getting a lot of Emmys. So I knew it was a very popular show among the fans, and I could tell just by going to like a personal appearance, you know, that the fans love the show and love these characters, and they love Justin and Adrian, and I was happy to give them what they want.
Did you ever have any professional jealousy of the Patch?
I don't know. No. Know, and Stephen and I worked with Stephen all the time, so we got along great. And he was older than me, and he had more experience than me, so I looked up to him too. You know, so I wasn't really jealous. I never felt like, oh, you know, he's, you know, it was
more
all
admiring than jealousy.
Of course.
Well, tell us about your relationship with John Aniston, who you've worked closely with, you know, on and off for decades now. I remember so many Justin and Victor scenes from over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. John is amazing. And, you know, he was just a pro and kind of like Jane Elliott, you know, I just watched him and just, you know, learned from him and, with the way he rehearsed, the way we'd run lines. you know, I'd run lines the way John ran lines, you know, and when I run lines with younger actors, I do the same thing. And I don't know if they're learning from me, but you know, we'd run it. And then I say, give me a moment. I want to look at these again. And then we'd run it and then we do it again. And I mean, for me, John, he was just this mentor role model that didn't have to say very much, but when he did, the words resonated. I remember meeting him at a party. I think it was a an Emmy party or Soap Opera Digest party. And I just switched over to General Hospital and I was talking to him and I said, well, hey, John, how you doing? And I said, you watch the show? And he goes, yeah. I go, what do you think? And he goes, it looks like you could have more fun.
So, John.
And I went, oh, I didn't say anything. I went, he's right. He's right. You know, we can have more fun. And I remember him once saying too, and I don't really agree with this part of what he said. He goes, Wally, you have to understand that soaps at their core are camp. Campy. And I went, I know what you're saying. And I know what, you know, the tone I think can be campy, but I remember him saying that. And that's one of the things I didn't quite agree with him, but I kind of understand in a sense, the spirit of campiness that he's talking to. And, no, it's just like, John is just, which is funny because I don't consider his acting campy at all. You know what I mean? He's probably the most underplayed,
right?
You know, style in on the show. So for him to say that you know that at its core it's camp, I was kind of shocked.
Right.
But no, the way he played too, the way he was always just so, you know, he just delivered. He underplayed so much of his stuff that I didn't ever want to get caught acting, you know, with John. And I felt like I didn't. You know, I felt like I knew I had to be really true and authentic with John. I wasn't going to pull anything over on him because he was always just very present and just a real pro. And he's such a nice guy. And he always had the best jokes. He still has a good attitude. Comes in and he's, you know, moving a little slower, but oh my God, he's just still hilarious and still so lovely to be around.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did mention GH. So after your first run on Days, you went to GH as Ned. So when you first started playing him, there were a lot more Quartermains on the scene than there are today. Although steps are being made to change that. We're seeing Brooklyn back. Tracy's coming back. But tell us what it was like to first join that family when Anna Lee was still playing Lila and Stuart Damon playing Alan and that whole Q vibe.
Yeah, the Q vibe. Yeah, once again, kind of a shot out of the cannon feel. I just left Days of Our Lives, where Al Raven, the producer, had sat me down in his office after 4 years and said he was thinking about resting the character. And I kind of looked at him like, wow, I never thought he was all that tired. And then I realized, oh, you mean I'm not going to be working here anymore. It took me a moment. And so I was a little surprised and a little disappointed because I just bought a house. And I think I was hoping to maybe do another 2 years or something, just work a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. So I had been unemployed for like 6 months. So, and I really did need a job. So when I got on General Hospital, I was once again really focused and kind of like Days of Our Lives. When I walked in and got the part, I was in a place where like, okay, this is mine. I got to get it. I can do this. You know, that's one thing about the Days of Our Lives audition. When I went in, I've told the story where I really felt like it was a time. It was like right after Christmas. I think I went in January, and I remember Christmas thinking the next job, the next interview I get, I'm gonna book. It's gonna be my role. I just felt like it's my time. I deserve this. And when I got the audition for Days of Our Lives, I remember thinking, oh, I guess I'm gonna be doing a soap opera. It was that confident that I like mm-hmm. this is what's gonna happen. And when General Hospital came up, I just said, okay, I'm going over to General Hospital. I mean, I didn't have any doubt. I wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous. I was like, okay, I got this rolling. But I will say this, that I had a lot going the day that I went in for Gloria Monty. Mark Teschner, who just celebrated his 30th year on General Hospital, a very good casting director, 9 Emmys. He knew a couple things. He knew that my headshot was not very good. Once again, I remember thinking, like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get a real gritty headshot. And I remember I had a beard, half beard going. And back then you didn't have half beards either. I don't know what you did. You were clean shaven. And I just remember the headshot wasn't very good. And I probably was maybe a little heavy. And he also knew that Gloria did not like to cast actors from another soap opera because she liked to discover actors. So he did not show her my headshot because he thought that she probably wouldn't ask me in because it wasn't a good headshot. I just didn't look good, which is kind of weird because I just come off Days and I'm in it. But I think I was actually a little heavier. And he took some white out and whited out the Days of Our Lives on my resume.
Oh, wow.
And then I run into Jane. Before I go in there, Jane, I'm going to be reading with Jane. And Jane goes, okay, first of all, Wally, please don't tell her that we played lovers on Days of Our Lives. And also, take off your wedding ring because I just got married. So take off your wedding ring. I went, okay. And I walk in there. And, you know, I had such a great rapport with Jane and she was now playing my mother, but we still have this great, you know, comfort level that we could, you know, we had this. And I also think that Ned and Tracy have this sort of, yes, they're mother and son, but there's somewhat of a, in fact, when she came back and we were playing it, it was, they're kind of like siblings too, in a way, you know, the way they kind of relate to one another and rib the other and, you know, and kind of tease each other in a way and just get on top of one another in a way.
And have each other's number.
Yes. Yes. We know how to like get the other one going. And so we had a good chemistry and and pretty much Gloria was like, okay. And she did have me test with Jenny Eckert, Cheryl. And, but I was the only one testing. So I felt pretty confident that I was probably going to, but once again, Gloria said after the test, she goes, you know, you could lose a couple pounds. So once again,
why?
Wally, I've been dealing with weight issues. All
yes,
my
seriously. New year, why new you, Wally.
Maybe that's why whenever I see a show, the first thing I think is like, damn it. That tie makes my chin, my cheeks and my neck. I look like I'm fat. It's terrible. I got all this body shame attached to this because, I never had body shame until I started on soap operas.
I'm sure that's true of a lot of people.
So anyway, when I got on there, and I totally digressed. So when I got in there, yes, so the Quartermains, yes, Alan, Monica, and David Lewis was Edward then, and he was just nothing but a portrait. And Anna would swoop into on her wheelchair and speak to the portrait, and then a little feather would float down from the grid, and I just thought that was really magical. And then David came back to the show, and that was the first time I realized, oh,
it's I guess person.
People do come back from the dead on soap opera because I thought he was really dead. Okay, whatever. That's one thing that has never happened to me. My character's never been killed or come back. It's probably because I've just been around for so long. I never leave. I guess that. But anyway, it was just, it's crazy. It's bedlam. It's like, you know, it's wonderful because you really do need, you only have a line here, a line there. So it's a lot of timing. And I've been around with other actors who, you know, who dropped the ball. Like, come on, we're all in this together. We rehearsed it. We got it. Now you get up here and you got to know your line. You got to know when the other person stops. You got to know when not to talk. And it is definitely collaborative and a team sport, the Quartermain living rooms scenes.
Yeah.
And still are.
I was just going to say, I really loved the Quartermain Thanksgiving this year. You know, it really felt like the classic Q holiday with the squabbling and the singing and of course, you know, the pizza. And those episodes are so fun to watch, but I've never thought about them possibly being challenging to shoot because of the timing and the number of bodies in the room and so forth, everything you just mentioned.
Yeah, it's a traffic situation, and you just gotta, and that's why there's not a lot of movement in nowadays, because you gotta keep it simple. And you gotta know your lines, and if there's a lot of bickering going on, you really do it. You gotta know when to drop in there. And so it's tricky. It's like when Jane was just talking about, we had a bunch of scenes last week and she forgot. It's like, sometimes it's harder when you only have one line per page because you just have to really be on it. You can't just be dozing.
Right.
And you got to really listen to everybody and know and have a, still have a point of view and still be totally involved with the scene and what's going on. And Billy Warlock commented about that too. He just said they're pesky. These pesky lines. When you only have one here, one there. And it's almost easier when it's just two people, you know, in a scene than when there's six.
Sure, because when that one person stops talking, you know it's your turn to talk.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. It's like when, you know, I always look at acting as a dance. And it's a lot easier to dance with just one person than like, you know, doing a square dance with six, you know, suddenly
doing a
like
flash mob.
Everyone's got their own rhythm. Some people are hearing a whole different song. You know, it's so it can be a little tricky.
Sure, sure. Well, on Days, you were in a hit pairing with Adrian, and then on GH, Ned and Lois really took off right away. So what do you think about when you think about that pairing and just sort of how successful it was?
Which one?
Ned and Lois.
Ned and Lois, yeah. Well, I have to hand it to Claire Levine and Wendy Rich for coming up with that. And Francesca James, too. She was our booth producer at the time, and she really... she helped a bunch of actors and couples find their feet, find their legs and how to, you know, once again, you know, make this dance work. And,
tell me, how did Francesca work with you that you feel like,
well, back in the day when we really did have, it wasn't just a one take thing where she would come out and sit down with us and go, okay, this is what the scene is. And you, Wally, you need to do a little bit more of that. And Rena, you need to do a little less of this or vice versa. And if there's another person, they like, and then you're doing fine, but you know, just remember when you come in with here, you got to like really, you know, tighten this up. And so it was just kind of like, fine tuning the scene. Not so much the acting performance, but the scene performance. So each scene had a real strong point of view. And Claire's writing really had a strong point of view as well. So it was just a great marriage. And, you know, Rena had a very strong point of view with her character. And Lois had such, you know, was so colorful and rich and unique. And I kind of just found my way sort of instinctively, like, how do I ground it, you know, especially because Rena's character was so big. And I knew that my job was just to like, let's just make sure we keep it on the earth and not get too into maybe camp. Maybe that's it. Maybe a little too goofy. And so I remember thinking just like, I'm going to keep this ship on the water. I'm just going to like, let's just kind of like, you know, it's like there's a straight character, you know, a straight to the comedy team. I was a straight man. Mm-hmm. So I remember that was sort of, I felt like that was my role. And it was easy for me too. And it's very much like my character because I was just completely enamored and just, I loved everything about the Lois, you know, character. And I loved the fingernails. I loved the accent. I loved the fact that she loved her family so much and she was so devoted to her family. And I didn't have any relationship with my family. It was completely different than the Cirillos. And it was just, I just felt like we all kind of knew what our roles were, and yet we were also really able to really collaborate and take notes. And Claire just never stopped inventing wonderful, wonderful scenes and stories for us. And we just jumped at it.
And another location you got to do with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just in Brooklyn, and I was like, we were on this bridge and a helicopter came by and took a picture of us like making out. I mean, like coming by. And it was just like, what? How did that happen? I mean, we went to Coney Island and went on all these rides when it was actually closed and they opened the Coney Island park so we could get in there and shoot. You know, it was just, yeah, another magical romance couple that I just held on like a roller coaster. I just held on and tried not to screw it up. and, you know, keep my wits about me. And, it was pretty, another magical ride. I didn't realize that. You're right. And it happened like that very first year too. It's always that very first 1 or 2 years of a couple that, I think really resonates with the audience because it's new, obviously. I guess that's it. But I think it's new for the writer too. And I think everyone got excited but it wasn't just my couple. It wasn't just Ned and Lois either. I remember General Hospital at the time. There was amazing stories at the time that Claire was writing for everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, the show was getting nominated. A lot of actors were being nominated. And it was like, the 90s were really a heyday for General Hospital.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was a golden era.
A golden era, yeah.
So for a while now, like going on many years at this point, you've been doing double duty on both shows. And we went from like a period of no Wally Kurth to twice the Wally Kurth. And we are, you know, both definitely in favor of that over here.
Way in favor.
And now like your screen time on both shows is really picking up. So like, let's start with everything going on with you at Days. And first, you know, how did you react when you heard that as part of the time jump, Adrian was going to be killed off?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was shocking. It's interesting because we weren't really working. So I knew and I also knew that Bonnie, I knew that, you know, I never talked to Ron about this, but I did find out later that he knew that he had Bonnie in his back pocket and Bonnie is back. So I mean, that helped, but I think just because it was a Justin and Adrian, like we were just speaking to like 33 years ago, went to Greece. So we had this incredible love story. And even though we'd gotten married, divorced, and we both left the show, I was gone. I'd left the Salem for 19 years. So it wasn't like I was on all this time. So I knew that if they did kill off this character, that my second reaction was, you know, other than shock, was that, well, that's going to be really great for me as an actor. Mm-hmm. It'll open me up. I'll have to deal with her death. I don't even know how she dies. I didn't know how she did, but I knew I'd have to deal with that. So I knew there was going to be probably a lot of great emotional work in front of me that I was looking forward to, because I've never been really handed any of that kind of material before. And I guessed right, because this past 8 months, we're already in the end of August, has been the most challenging, emotionally demanding work that I've ever had in my career. And people have really responded positively about it. I've really just dove in with both feet and just went for it. And I found out a lot about myself as an artist and as an actor and what I can do. And it's been incredibly rewarding. And so in that regard, I did have my first thought was, I'm going to certainly miss Judy as Adrian, but I also knew like, well, this is a great opportunity for me. And it has indeed turned out to be an amazing opportunity for me as an artist.
Mm-hmm. It definitely has. I mean, even just the scenes that you've had recently with Freddie have just been, you know, had such a different feel to them.
The scenes today, yeah. the scenes that aired today, mm-hmm. Will.
Yeah.
Those
were great.
It opened me up to play with, I've had these coming up. I have these great scenes with Suzanne, with Maggie, with Ben, with Will, with Freddie, with Sarah. And I have, you know, I got stuff coming up with, well, of course, with Steve. Mm-hmm. With Steven, and of course with Kayla. I mean, so I'm working with so many different people and so many more other characters. And so that also just you as an artist or as an actor, you're having to find different colors, and you're just having to, you know, go to different places that you would never go. I'm going down a road that I've never traveled before. And that's always so much, much more fun than just doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's in that regard. And I'm working with Marlena and John. So I'm working with everybody in the cast And so that's been fun. You know, that's really the best part, is that I've been able to, you know, just work with so many different other characters, and that's great. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about that pairing with Mary Beth. I mean, you guys had worked together as Ned and Catherine. As you were talking about the Ned and Lois, I was thinking of, you know, Happy Birthday,
Mrs. Ned Ashton, from the other Mrs. Ned Ashton.
So what was it like to hear that you were going to be paired, that Justin and Kayla would be paired, that you'd be working with Mary Beth again? And now here you are, I imagine, finding a new dynamic from the different from the one at GH.
Yeah, completely different than the one at GH. I mean, I can't even, because I was being somewhat, obviously, like, extorted. I think we were being extorted,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken. I know Alan was involved, and I mean, I had to do it to sort of, once again, you know, suck it up for the Quartermains.
Blackmailed into bigamy, the Ned Ashton story.
Oh, bigamy story. That was one, I think it's a soap opera trope that they don't use enough, these bigamy
they
story.
They really don't.
I'm a big fan of it. I wish they'd come back. I'd love to be a bigamist once again. Anyway, I don't think the fans.
Wait till we take you out of context, Wally.
It's a good thing it's a podcast, so you don't laughing. No, so it was a different, whole nother vibe, you know. And also, I knew that, you know, obviously Lois was the love of Ned's life at that time. He's falling in love with her. He didn't know what was happening, but, you know, because he was still in the closet, he was still Eddie Main on the side. He wasn't full on. He couldn't be the rock star he was meant to be. And Lois couldn't be a part, you know. So Lois had to be, you know, the secret that was happening. So it was a completely different story. So when this came up, you know, here we are, you know, Justin. I'm able to separate, you know, Justin and Adrian and Justin that pretty easily. And this was really easy because Justin and Kayla had this relationship that were just friends from over 30 years ago. You know, they were always, you know, we kind of played together, but we never really, you know, had that dynamic. Obviously, we were in love with brother and sister. So for, you know, you don't see, I mean, unfortunately, for this is one thing about the time jump, is that you see us 3 months into the relationship. So I remember, Mara, you were asking me about, you know, did I have any guilt, you know, when I was just getting together with Kayla? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I didn't. And I said, I didn't, but it's because I never played it. We never played those first moments. I mean, you saw the very first kiss. You did see that. But then you pretty much see Justin and Kayla 3 months into it. And there probably was a little bit of guilt in that first week or two or month, or even second month, like, what am I doing? Maybe this is too early. Maybe I shouldn't be feeling this because, you know, Adrian only died 3 months ago. I don't know. At least that's what my wife keeps telling me.
I was like, tell Steph what your wife said, because I remember you cracked me up with that.
3 months? It better be 3 years for me. And there better be a portrait above the fireplace.
That's hilarious.
So there's not a lot of, you don't see, because he's, you know, again, and I spoke to Mara about it. I said, it's for Justin, he was so wounded. It was very important. And you'll see the day that she dies in a few months from now. And hopefully I portrayed the crushing heartbreak that Justin experiences, that, you know, that he needs to be somewhat almost rescued in a way, that he's at the bottom, and that somehow this woman, this doctor, sort of helps him get back to living. And that's kind of what I was, you know, hoping for and going for. And so that's the story, and it's completely different than anything I've ever played in my life. So that's kind of what that was such a wonderful thing to play with Kayla about that. And we both sort of looked at it like we're both coming from this place of having the loves of our life, losing the loves of our life, and being lost in a way without them, and somehow finding our way back to the living through each other.
Yeah. It's been great. I really like the pairing. I think, you know, in the context of not having Steve right, well, Steve's back, but hasn't seen, you know, Kayla yet at where we are right now. And not having Adrian there, I think there's like a really mature, you know, kind of nice vibe that these two have with each other. I'm liking Justin and Kayla together.
Mary Beth said, Wally, let's just play it adult. Let's mm-hmm. play it like a couple 50-year-olds and have an adult relationship, have fun, but make it, you know, like you just said, a mature, you know, coupling and a mature relationship as what you would, you know, what would happen. And I said, that sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, it totally works.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, is a passion, of course, but you know, I don't know. It's not 20-year-old passion. You know, it's not 19-20-year-old passion. I mean, in a sense, like it's the first. We aren't with the loves of our life. We already had that. You know what I mean? Now we're now like the second loves of our life. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever that means. And there's a lot of people that experience that, especially if are widowed or divorced. I mean, you see it all over the place. You see the second chance. And I mean, that's kind of what this is, what, you know, Jayla is. It's the second chance for these two characters. And that's how I think that's hopefully what people are responding to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, as if you're not busy enough in Salem, let's talk about life in Port Charles right now. So Brooklyn is back. And what was your reaction to finding out the character was coming back, and like, what has it been like to have her back?
Yeah, once again, just thrilled. Once again, lucky me. And we're bringing on your daughter, Brooklyn, and Jane's coming back for a while. So I was like, if I was drinking, I would have dropped it. I would spit. I would have done a spit take.
Yeah, it's a lot of wow.
It was a lot of wow, and I went, wow, I'm so glad I'm here. And like I said, I'm having so much fun over in Salem too. So it's just unfair that I get to have so much fun over in General Hospital and with the same wonderful actors, wonderful crew, I get similar cameramen on both places, couple directors on both places, couple, you know, lighting designers. So I do sort of, we see each other back and forth. We see each other in both worlds. But no, it's just been great. And I think the audience is going to love it because there's going to be Justin, Ned.
See? Gotcha.
Ned, they're bringing, Ned's going to be back. Ned's coming back strong. They're really using him. And I'm thrilled about it. They're definitely pumping up the Quartermains as well as they should. It's a great family. It's a great legacy. We spent a lot of time and energy into this, you know, family and the legacy of this family. And so I am so happy that the powers that be see that. And the writers, I think, are into it. And I know Frank's into it. And so far, so good. So, you know, I feel like it's the writing's been great. I was just watching the shows yesterday. And I watch both shows. And not every day, but I watch usually when I'm on, even when I'm not on, I watch them. And they're just, I think both General Hospital and Days is going strong. I think they've got good writing teams in place. And, you know, the producers are great. I think they've got a great cast. I mean, I'm just always just blown away by the cast and the young kids, too, that have to come in and know that they have to deliver in one take. I mean, as an old vet, I know that. I mean, I've got this down. I mean, I have to work hard, but I mean, you know, I know what I'm facing. And I'm always just really impressed with the younger actors. Back in the day when I first started, like I said, we'd be there all day long, and we'd have rehearsal in the morning, a dress rehearsal, and then break for notes, and we'd be there at 6 o'clock in the morning, but we wouldn't be taping until 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We'd have all day to work on our lines. And now we come in at 7 o'clock in the morning and we got to come up and quick run through. And then we put it on tape and we do it in one take. And if you get it in one take, we're moving on. We're done by, sometimes I'm out of there by 10 o'clock in the morning.
It's incredible.
And, it's just a whole nother world. And these young actors and the old actors, hey, we're still pulling it off. And I'm sure everyone thought there's no way that we're going to be able to keep this genre going with, you know, with the budgets being cut as they are. And these actors aren't going to pull it off. The crews aren't going to be able to pull it off. The designers, the writers writing six shows a week, producers producing eight shows a week in 9 hours. I mean, we're done at 4:45 over in Days of Our Lives. 4:45 every day. We do 117 pages a day. It's mind-blowing.
It is. I imagine it's like a total 180 from when you started.
Yeah. There was no pre-tapes, no post-tapes. You got sick. You just went in anyway. You weren't going, oh, I got to – there's a lot more flexibility. I will say this about how wonderful it is to be if only I was a – well, let me put it this way. The younger actors today, I kind of envy them because they seem to be able to come and go. They can say the producers aren't like freaking out. Like if you don't sign, we won't bring you back. Now they're like, you want to go out and do pilot season? Fine. We'll bring you back in 6 months. We'll do a 3 month run. I mean, you know, they also like actors to hang out and put them under contract and so forth, but there seems to be a lot more flexibility. And then with all the hiatuses, I see actors, you know, going away to do a movie and producers will work around it. That would never happen back in the day. You were locked in. You weren't going anywhere. You had 2 weeks off at Christmas time. That was it. There was no week hiatuses. There was no 2 weeks on, 1 week off.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And you were there all day long. And if you were working every day, you were there 5 days a week, all day into the night. And that part of the schedule is great. And it's always impressive me that I don't feel – I may be wrong, but I feel like the actor's performance is, you know, yeah, could they get maybe a little bit, could you get a different type of performance with a second or third or fourth take? Could the scenes be better with a second or third or fourth take? Maybe. But all in all, I think the actors, knowing that they have to come in and deliver in one take, they seem to be more focused. They seem to be really know what they're doing and they're on it and they're focused. And, I think we get a better performance.
Oh yeah, you guys are on your game. Now we can't talk about how and why Tracy comes back, but we can talk about Jane being back. So, what has it been like to have her back on the set? And you know,
She hasn't even left. I mean, she just sort of. I mean, it's been a couple of years, but she just rolled in. You know, she's looking terrific, looking rested. And she had a, you know,
and not in the Justin Kuriakis circa 1991 kind of rested, like really rested.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. And she, you know, I mean, I don't know if I can say this, but it's a limited run. She didn't sign a contract. She's not going to stay forever, but she's on for a while and she'll be back. I think she'll be back. I'm hoping, but so maybe that's another reason why she, you know, she was having so much fun, you know. But they're going to use her. And I really can't talk about the story.
Right.
But it was just great. She was, I know when she left, she said she really enjoyed it. So that's a good thing. Because I know she was really ready to retire. And I know she, in her heart, she probably thought that she was never coming back. So good for her for being able to change her mind and say, yeah, I want to go have some fun. Like John Aniston said, you know, just have, you can have more fun.
Yeah.
Have more fun.
Yeah. Now though you are juggling two shows, obviously you have some Wally time as well. Any music pursuits? What's been going on off camera for you?
I'm not really doing any music. I have been really busy. I am going to upload a couple more songs that I've sung throughout the year that I try to do that. Other people's songs like, you know, it's Van Morrison's song. I want to put on my Facebook page and, one of the original songs.
Which one? I just need to know.
Oh, Into the Mystic.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I've just been singing it at home and I'm like, I got to share this with everybody. It's good. I like it.
By the way, we loved you and JPS together, Mr. James Patrick Stewart, and the Christmas concert.
That was great.
Oh, thank you. I have not seen that.
Oh, you have to watch it. It's so good. We'll
send you the link.
I know. James said it was really good. And so when he told me that, I went, okay, yeah, I guess I should. I'm always like a little hesitant because I always feel like I don't know. I just often usually just get disappointed.
You won't be disappointed. It really was adorable.
Okay.
And it's perfect for the season.
Okay. Okay. I'll watch it. I did think that Brianna and Amanda were hilarious.
They were.
I thought they were really funny. And I don't know. I was like, I mean, I thought it could have been really bad. I go, wait a minute, hold, they're going to talk between, oh, I don't know. That might be a disaster. But they were silly. And they were the poor things that kept getting a stage manager's note to stretch. So that's why they kept probably talking as long as they did, because I think people probably thought, are they ever going to stop talking? They were being told to stretch. But I thought, you know, they pulled it off. Well, I'll watch. I did. I will. I'll watch before the season's over.
Okay. Well, you have a couple of weeks for that.
All right.
And how's the family?
Good. Well, everyone's good. Thank you for asking. No. Yep. My 15-year-old has had a growth spurt. He's a big boy. He's five, almost taller than me. And he's doing good. And my girls are doing great. Yeah. No, we're all good. We're all good. My mom is going to be here for Christmas. And my sister's coming in. And my brother's already here. So we're going to have Christmas here in Manhattan Beach. They're not going to go to Montana this year. My mom's just a little too old to travel in the snow and all that. So we're lucky to have them here.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It'll be nice.
Well, have a very wonderful holiday with all of them. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was so much fun to talk.
Yes, my pleasure. It's been a while. So it's always nice talking to Stephanie and Mara. Appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll talk in 2020.
Okay.
Happy holidays.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Wally Kurth for being our guest. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up a new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.